Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz. It is Moose. It is CBS Sports Radio here on this fine Thursday morning as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up later on this hour, about 40 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Maurice Claret, former Ohio State running back, the founder of the Red Zone. Talking about an inspirational story, up, down, back up again.
Oh, yeah.
We'll chat with Maurice a little later on this hour. Taz and myself will. Got Mike and Pete across the way, AB, with your updates as we are going right along. And we got Thursday Night Football tonight at MetLife Stadium in beautiful New Jersey. Ooh. As the Eagles come to town to take on the Giants, an NFC East matchup, as there is a lot of rain that is in the forecast for later on today here in the tri-state area that should wreak havoc on tonight's game as well. As it last I checked the forecast, 100% chance of showers.
Oh, it's actually high now. It's 102%.
100% chance there.
33% chance.
As the game does get going later on tonight, Taz. And I it's an intriguing matchup because you have an Eagle team that has not played up to the expectations. Wentz back, full struggled initially. They played a lot of close games.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in every single one of their games.
Yep.
You know, lost in overtime to Tennessee. Lost last week in which they trailed at home to Minnesota, but had an onside kick late to try and win it late. Unfortunately for them, Adam Thielen did recover it. You know, there are, you know, lost down in Tampa. There are positives to take away from the Eagles. They've just not been able to connect the dots. But now they're suffering some injuries with the Ajayi injury, done for the year, torn ACL.
Yeah, they need a back.
Right. Yeah. Reports out there that maybe they've given the Buffalo Bills a call about trying to bring LeSean McCoy back to Philadelphia.
Take him.
Right. So I think the Eagles are going to be a team, Taz, that is going to be a much different look and a vibe to a team in 5-6 weeks from now than they are right now when they start to get into more of a rhythm offensively. And for the Giants, tonight is a do-or-die game.
It really
They're
is.
A 1-4 team. They can't fall to 1-5 and expect to – I don't care how bad the NFC East is and expect to play relevant football in the second half of the year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, you hit it at the top when you talk about how the weather's going to be here in the Northeast and tonight how that rain should and probably will hit East Rutherford, New Jersey pretty heavy, and that's the home of the MetLife Stadium where the Giants play. For those that don't know, here's the thing, Moose, and speaking on that weather, this is where I think the Giants have a huge advantage tonight because they do need to win, you're right, so they don't go to 1-5 because then they'll really look like they suck. But they got Barkley, and they got this kid who can run the rock, this rookie who's tremendous, and I think that you want a good running game when you're going to have bad weather right now. You're going to have a lot of rain. It's going to be difficult. The ball's going to be wet. That field turf's going to be real wet, but that's when you got to utilize that run game. And I think you got to be careful if you Wentz, you know, because again, that knee, yeah, it's 100% for the most part, I would assume, but still, you don't want to deal with wet turf and you got that big brace on there and all that stuff and you got no running game to help you. So, you know, I think that's a bad, you know, little mix right there for the Philadelphia Eagles as they head north to play the Giants, you know,
yeah,
on 95,
you, right.
You know.
The issue with the Giants, though, Taz, they've not been able to run it.
I know, but they will. I think they will tonight. I don't know why. I feel like they're going
to
run the
ball. Well, they're going to have to. They're going to have to, especially with how bad the forecast is. And Eli, at this stage of his career, does need a ground game to lean on. We know how good of a play-action passer he's shown to be over the course of his career. That's why they drafted Barkley. They viewed him as the best overall prospect in the draft. But they wanted to help out their veteran quarterback. So they wanted to try to establish the run. But every time I see the Giants try and run the football and Saquon Barkley is getting the football, there's a guy that's right in his face, and he's doing five spin moves to try and get back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they've been streaky with the running.
They've not been good. Yeah. I mean, they really haven't been.
He's breaked out on a couple, though, right?
Well,
his athleticism,
right,
though.
But that's more about him than it is the Giants' offensive line.
Right.
So I look at it where I'd love to see it. I agree with you. I think it's of high importance for the Giants. I don't know if I can necessarily can bank on it because I haven't seen that kind of a ground game from the Giants. Now, maybe tonight with the forecast, with the rain, maybe you're right. Maybe tonight's the night that the Giants do break out that ground game. For Philadelphia, though, don't you look at this Eagles team as just being a, even though they are 2-3, a more complete football team than the Giants are right now?
Well, yeah, I do think they are more complete. They just come off of, you know, winning the Super Bowl, right? And yeah, they are more complete, but the run game is the only major thing that we just discussed that, you know, because, you know, Jay was out now. And so so who are you going to lean on there? You know, you're going to lean on Smallwood. You're going to lean on, you know, Sproles. Who are you leaning on?
Corey,
you know,
Clement.
Clement. Forgot about Clement. Yep, the kid out of Wisconsin, right?
Yep.
I forgot about him. Yeah, he's real good. But so, you know, maybe they could get something going there. But, yeah, I would think as a whole they're complete. Defensively, they're definitely a better team. I mean, Wentz, I feel, is a better quarterback than Eli. But Wentz has been a little bit since he's back. You know, I still think you said it the other day. I think you used the word rusty, and I think you might be right. We're almost witnessing his preseason right now. You know,
we are. You're right about that. Let's hear from the Eagles quarterback. Here is Wentz discussing, well, he's got to cut down on the errors.
Little things happen in practice every now and then, and we just got to be on it. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, older guys and leaders got to hold each other accountable and say, this is the standard, and where we've been is not the standard, and really hold everyone accountable for that.
Yeah, and that's music to the ears of his head coach, Doug Peterson.
The way we've been playing and performing, it starts with me, and I want to make sure that the guys understand that we can't do these things. We can't self-inflict and expect to win. Championship teams just don't do that.
Yeah, they don't. And they are a 2-3 team. And sometimes, Taz, there's a little bit of a hangover after you win a Super Bowl where you struggle the next year. And maybe that's what we're witnessing here, coupled with the rust that we've seen here from Carson Wentz for the Giants and for Gettleman, for Pat Shurmur, Mr. Finito. They expected this year to be a lot different, play out initially through the first 5 weeks at 1-4 on the season. They certainly didn't want to deal with the drama last week with the Odell Beckham Jr. interview with Lil Wayne by his side. Oof. Getting interviewed by Josina Anderson.
It's Lil Wayne.
Well, you know what I mean. And the 63-yard field goal by the Carolina Panthers and Graham Gano to beat them. Here's Eli Manning on his squad trying to overcome last week's last-second loss.
Win or lose, that's, you're always going to try to make improvements, find things where that you can fix if there's if they're a common trend, and then, but you know, all you worry about is, you know, the next game. You know, you don't worry about record, you don't worry about where you are, you worry about, yeah, we got a game to play this week in the division at home on a Thursday night on a short week, so we got to get our bodies back right, we got to get our minds back right.
Eli, you better worry about not losing your second NFC East game because your guys already lost to the Cowboys.
Yep.
And I believe this is the first NFC East game for the Eagles, I believe. Yes. So,
it is.
So it should be interesting. I mean, look, listen, if you know, Wentz can get in a rhythm for the Eagles, if he gets into a rhythm throwing a ball to whoever, you know, Ertz or, we know how awesome this kid was. We've talked about it. If he didn't blow that knee out last year, Carson Wentz, he's going on to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was going to happen. Okay, it was basically a foregone conclusion. He was all that, a bag of chips, as they say. But obviously he had the injury, and he's coming back. He's back from the injury now. If he starts hitting his stride a little bit here, rain or no rain, it could be doom city for the Giants tonight. You know, because they have a receiving corps that can do that.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, dude, no doubt he's a stud, man. So. But if they could get some running game, the Giants going, get some push in that old line, which they really, to your point earlier, haven't done, then, and Barkley could have a big night in the rain. I mean, it should be something. Look, I would think that, you know, we've talked a lot of people talked about NBC, about Thursday night matchups, how a lot of them have sucked last year for sure. This year, I think they've been pretty decent. I bet you when they booked this one here and put this one together, they thought it would be awesome. You know, really, come up with Super Bowl champs, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And you know, it is because it's a rivalry.
Right, but so, they're both stinking right now.
Well,
that's right. The thing.
They're both not great, but they're both still in contention to win the division because the division's not particularly good.
I know,
so
it's not good at all.
Fox could actually come on the airwaves and talk about the impact of the division and say, wait a second, the Giants are 1-4. Yeah, that's where the NFC East is. They are just downright bad.
I think
tonight's a...
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, but, especially with the rain in the forecast.
I'm with you. The pregame thing, I got to tell you, I've watched it now a couple of weeks with the whole Michael Strahan. We've talked about this in the recent past. But Michael Strahan, Howie Long, and Terry Bradshaw. Individually, I like all these guys together. you know, we've seen Bradshaw and Harry Long work together on TV for years. They have very good chemistry. I think Michael Strahan's very good, all the TV work he does. But I have to be honest, these three guys together, I've been watching now without, what's his name, Kurt Manafi. Yeah, around him there, somebody like a lead guy, like a one guy, it just doesn't work. This pregame is awkward, man. I got to be honest. It seems, it is, bro. It seems like I watch it, and I watch it because I want to critique it, but I want to like it, and I don't like it because I like all three guys.
But it doesn't work well together.
It doesn't work. You have to, if you get a few minutes, watch it because there's something missing. It's awkward, and they do it in Manhattan here in the city, New York City, and they're walking around outside.
He's got the Good Morning America stuff.
Yeah, he's got the gimmick. And then they go back in the studio. Then they're outside. Then they're trying to crack jokes that are really bad. And it doesn't seem organic. It seems very worked. Like bad worked.
Really?
Yeah, you know. I
got to check it out. I think Buck and Aikman gave the Thursday night game a bigger feel. I got to check out the pregame. Not great.
They just need that one, you know, as we call in the business, right? The lead guy.
So they need somebody else to – they need Strahan to assume just more of the analyst role than their hosting role.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it would be fine. It's just something's – it's awkward. It's just – I don't know if they're scripting this. I don't know what's going on. I might be the only one who thinks this way. I don't care because I know how I feel when I watch it, and it's awkward.
Okay.
And I know I know one of the big executives over there at Fox. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And I hope he doesn't hear what I just said. I basically just ripped what he's doing. So, but I call like I see it, just like you call like you see. You know, every once in a while we'll have a hot take.
Yes.
Hot take! Maybe later.
I thought we were just lame. All right, I'll try and take a listen to that later on tonight. And try and watch it later on tonight and give you a little synopsis.
I'd like to get your take on it. You're a big TV guy. Yeah.
How about Beckham this week, who credited last week the Giants' performance down in Carolina, Taz, and he said it's about his squad trying to get on the same page.
There's nothing that is going to come in between my brothers, my teammates. This is something that is going to pull us closer, and I felt very close as a team this Sunday, and that's the way that we have to play. That's the way that we're going to fight. Nobody in here likes to lose. We're all tired of losing. We want to change that culture, atmosphere, whatever it is.
Well, the narrative. He's saying, you know, sometimes, you know, words can have different meanings. Beckham. He's a lot lost.
He's a baller, but God, he is. He can play. You know what I mean? But he's just
now hitting upon it, Taz. The one thing I look at it, the toughness, the mental toughness of the Philadelphia Eagles, I think is a tremendous asset for them. In any game that they go up against, the leadership you get from a guy like Michael Jenkins in that defensive secondary, I don't think that's something that we can discuss X's and O's, that you can discuss scheme-wise, whether or not a third and short was the right call. Philadelphia is a mentally tough team.
Yes.
And you've seen that in aspects this year where they've not played great football, but they find a way to keep themselves in the game by making a great defensive stand or Wentz making a great play or having a great special teams play, what have you. I think that's something that the Giants do have to overcome tonight as well. And I'm not telling you that they're not physically tough or they're not tough guys stepping on the field. There's a tenacity to Philadelphia that we have seen over the first 5 weeks of this NFL season, even with their 2-3 record, that I think it's real and tangible that they're going to find, by hook or by crook, tonight's game, it either goes one or two ways. Mm. Either the Eagles win by daylight or it's anybody's game in the fourth quarter. I have a hard time envisioning that the Giants blow the doors off the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't see that happening. The Eagles have shown themselves to stay in every single game this year, Taz.
Yeah, I think they ranked total defense 10th. I was looking at the defenses yesterday, and the Giants are around 12th to 13th, believe it or not. So the Eagles have dropped from last year defensively. It's still early in the year, but still they have dropped a little bit. But no, I agree with what you said. They definitely have that toughness there. With guys like Graham, you know, at that defensive end spot, and Hicks, these guys are ballers, these guys are players. Jenkins at that strong safety spot, these guys can go. And Fletcher Cox, look,
Giants get a good player back tonight, Olivier Vernon. After a high ankle sprain.
That's a good point.
Caused him to miss the first 5 weeks of the year, which will help out that Giant defense because he's the only guy that can get after the quarterback.
Otherwise, it's not that good. It's like the no-name defense, but back in the day, the no-name defense was legit. But, like, you really can't – like, the Giants' defense, it's tough to really – there's not that – those you know, Giants' defense, Giants football, in my opinion, always had stars on it.
Different great stars. Linebackers.
Great linebackers forever. And some great defensive linemen.
No doubt.
Like Strahan or back in the day, George Martin, Jim Burt. You know, these guys, you know, so many great players defensively. But you're right about the linebacker spot for sure. Harry Carson,
yeah,
Lawrence
aren't
Taylor.
Those guys.
You know.
There's good players. Jack Rabbit's a good player. But there are not those defining players on the defense.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I like the Eagles tonight. Who do you like, Tess? You like the Giants, I get a sense.
Put me on the spot. I didn't do any prep for this. Yeah, no, I would.
Giants home, rain falling down. I get a sense you like the Giants.
It's my birthday. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Giants.
It is. Happy birthday once again to Taz. He always enjoys birthdays. Make sure to hit him up on Twitter. 51 years old.
There it is. There it is. So, yeah, Happy birthday, Taz. It's about seven times today he's named my age. I'm going to go with the Giants. I do think Barkley plays well. I think the offensive line gives him a push. Home team Jones, Giants are home. It's always a good game. I hope tonight doesn't suck between these two teams. We want to come out here tomorrow and talk about this as our lead story. That's what we're hoping.
Well, it is. It's a Thursday night football. It's great to have the NFL back in focus once again tonight.
Watch that pregame. Oof, it's rough.
I will take a listen. Baseball gets going again tomorrow night with the NLCS. ALCS gets going on Saturday night. That's going to be great.
Mikey B, he's a Giant fan. What do you think tonight, bro? What do you got?
I would assume the Eagles will win.
Oh, you, wow, okay. It's just your team,
Pete.
What? Okay.
Eagles.
Well, they're being honest.
Yeah, they are.
I'll be rooting for the Giants, and I hope
but
I'm
he likes
wrong.
The Eagles to win,
but
it's fair.
Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, and they are just overall better.
Mm. Yeah, but yes, they are. They are. They're not dominating this year as we discussed. But have some pride in your team. Not some pride. Have some belief. But I'm a Bills fan, Mike, so I understand the pain. You can't really believe in them. I was shocked we beat the Titans. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I've lost belief in my sports teams a long time ago.
Okay. All right.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Maybe avocado ice cream ain't that bad after all. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, it's a birthday edition. 51 years old, Taz is today. Happy birthday to Taz. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL scores, highlights, and more with Rich Ackerman and I on Football. Be listening Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Team of the Week is brought to you by Ferguson. This week's team, the Kansas City Chiefs, 5-0, averaging 35 points per game offensively. Patrick Mahomes has thrown a league-leading 14 touchdown passes. Chiefs play the Patriots on Sunday night. All brought to you by Ferguson. Hey, trade pros, Ferguson is proud to be part of what you do with over 1,000 one-stop shop counter locations, expert associates, and an unmatched selection of OEM repair parts. Learn more at Ferguson.com. Mm. AB, good morning.
Good morning, AB.
Taz, good morning.
Good
happy
morning.
Birthday.
Good morning.
Moose, good moment.
Yes,
let's
happy
say,
birthday. 51 years young today.
He's 51, actually. And
that's what I said, 51 years young.
No, he's 54. But for some people.
I thought I heard 41.
Yeah,
before.
Well, before.
That was Taz.
I didn't want
40.
It. Well,
because said 30.
Moose is doing the old radio thing, you know, where he's going to keep saying my age to make me feel like an old piece of dirt.
Moose.
That's what he's doing. Like an old washed up hag.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm not trying to bust your chops.
51.
Happy 51st birthday, Tax Moose.
Is it today?
Any big
you
plans?
Me at 51?
Excuse
what
me,
you
any big
do?
Plans, did you say?
Yeah.
51 cupcakes for 52, no. For one for good luck?
No, I'll go to the gym. I'll do 51 strugs with 150-pound dumbbells.
Nice.
And then I'll go home and smoke one cigar and maybe
51
have
seconds?
51 slices of low-sodium bologna.
Very nice. Hell sounds, of a birthday.
Sounds fun.
Sounds like a good time. Happy birthday, Taz.
Thanks, Moose.
Happy birthday.
Good morning, Andrew.
Oh, yeah, good morning, guys.
I say good morning constantly on the show.
Shivering happy through bologna.
Low sodium bologna. And I don't do the bread because you want to watch your carb intake.
Right. I'm a low sodium ham guy, actually.
No, so really, do you do two candles for good luck? Like you'll have 53 on the birthday cake?
We don't
today,
do the cake.
52?
Actually, the meal company, the food company that sends me food, you know that company?
Yeah.
They kidding aside, they actually sent me a little, I should have took a picture of it, a little birthday cake cupcake, which is made with like some kind of stevia whey protein icing.
Oh.
And a whey protein.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
And it was friggin' horrible, dude. I took a bite, and I'm like, I had like strawberries in it, like fresh strawberries.
So is your wife going to have a cake tonight?
No, I don't want any cake. I mean, but if I were to have a cake, I would like a little ice cream.
So do you do the numbers, like 51, or do you do candles?
What am I, 7?
No, I'm just asking. Do you do... Because
once you get over 40...
50, if you put 51 candles on a cake, and then you put one... I mean, it could set off the fire alarm.
Listen, you're over 40. Once you're over 40, you use one candle.
It could set off the fire alarm.
No, you use one... Okay. Comedy Jones over here. One line of city. I'm working,
make sure
I'm working
you get
with Don
it away
Rickles
from
now.
The fire alarm. Especially today's day and age, they're very, very sensitive.
Set up the smoke detector. Right?
When you blow it out, the smoke that's generated from that cake is just off the charts.
At least my chimney works.
I'm just thinking about you.
At least I got a good chimney.
You don't want the fire department coming to your house tonight.
They came to your house, they'd fall off the chimney.
So
the
just, so just as you blow out the candles
tonight.
Why
is it so big?
As you blow out the candles tonight, make sure you keep it away from the smoke detector.
Okay, I got it, Moose. I understand. Yeah,
You don't want to alarm Pete and the rest of your support staff
never
at
want,
the compound.
You don't want the trip from the fire department to your compound.
My compound's so big, we have our own private fire department. In case of emergency.
You don't want to waste. You don't want to wake those guys up with a cattle prod.
That's funny.
AB.
Oh, hey, guys. Good morning.
By the
Taz,
way,
happy
by
birthday.
The way,
yeah,
you.
By the way.
By the way, I want to just say, so we get in here this morning, and Moose finds out it's my birthday. He says, oh, Taz, how old are you? Like a gentleman. I said, oh, Moose, I'm 5'1". And he goes, oh. And I just figured he was casually asking, but no. You know, that's Moose's deal.
Well, I knew you were 50. I knew you were 51.
You got to come out public consumption. You got to share it with the world.
About 4 months ago, we talked about your 50th birthday celebration. That's not true.
What a night that was.
Pete remembers. Mike remembers.
I remember the day as well.
Taz doesn't remember.
I actually don't.
So there you go.
That's
take
why
away,
it was a good night.
I'm not kidding.
Moose, thank you. Good morning. Taz, happy birthday.
All right, thank you.
The Philadelphia Eagles yet to score 24 points in a game this season, and now they've lost running back Jay Ajayi to a torn ACL. Extra work for QB Carson Wentz on Thursday Night Football against the Giants.
More than anything, I feel for him. You know, I feel he's kind of been battling his back this year and just little things here and there, and then this happened. You know, I feel terrible for him. I know what it's like. Obviously, he's been there before, too.
Sounds awesome. Fellow running back Darren Sproles out with a hamstring injury. Corey Clement returns tonight after missing two games with a quad injury. The Eagles facing a giant defense that finally has Olivier Vernon. The veteran pass rusher missed Big Blue's first 5 games with a high ankle sprain suffered late in the preseason. Falcons running back Devontae Freeman now dealing with a sore foot. He didn't practice yesterday. Freeman played Sunday after missing 3 games with a knee injury. And Ram receivers Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks progressing well from Sunday's concussions in Seattle. Both went through yesterday's walkthrough in L.A. LeBron James and Lonzo Ball finally played together last night in Vegas against the Warriors. Lonzo making his preseason debut after July knee surgery after originally getting hurt in late March. In alley-oop, the highlight of their night together, LeBron has the very detailed breakdown.
It took a great back screen by Kuz. It took Lance doing what he needed to do on the slide, going to the strong corner. And then when you got an athletic point guard like that, it's just my job to put it up there for him to go get it.
LeBron finished.
It's just the beginning, right? The LeBron drops.
Here we go.
For about the next 17 months here.
Kuz,
in the NBA.
No, Lance.
Oh, dude. I can't. I'm ready. I'm tapping out already.
LeBron finished with 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. Lonzo had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 steals in 23 minutes off the bench. Kevin Durant fouled out in the third quarter of that game. In the final minutes, he was still on the bench. A teammate was called for a questionable offensive foul. KD got up and left, but apparently not because of the officiating.
No, I had to go pee.
Good, you got to relieve yourself.
Hydration.
Stay for the laughter of reporters.
Got to hydrate.
Moving on, the Mets continue interviewing GM candidates. Among the reported names to get a sit-down this week is Mike Chernoff, of the Cleveland front office, and the son
awesome.
Of our fearless leader,
Mark.
Mark.
Yes.
So wait, that's with the Mets?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Good. Congrats. Good luck to him. That's awesome. Seriously.
If we were friends, I'd probably tell him to stay in Cleveland.
What, you and Mark or Mike?
Oh, Mike. I mean, I'd like Mike to run the Mets. I don't know that I want Mike to have to run the Mets, though.
I don't think you get my point. I don't think you're too much friends with his dad either. I've witnessed that interaction.
I got a hearty hello this morning, actually, on that note.
It'd be interesting to see the control he'd have.
Right. That's
what kind of control does he have with the organization? Is he able to run the organization as he sees fit? If not, then I would probably stay in Cleveland.
Right.
We'll see. I mean, it's great. He's deserving opportunity.
Absolutely.
He's 37 years of age.
It's awesome.
He's done a wonderful job in Cleveland, worked his way up.
I think he's an Ivy guy, right? Went to Princeton, mm-hmm.
Played there.
Oh, he played at Princeton. I didn't know that. Okay.
There's no playoff action today. The Brewers and Dodgers start the NLCS tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Philadelphia Flyers, a 7-4 win in Ottawa last night after an 8-2 home loss to the Sharks the day before. And finally, guys, major NASCAR news yesterday. I'm sure you're very much aware of this, but Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus, his crew chief, are breaking up after this season. They've been together since 2002, seven titles, but the last 2 years have not been up to par, so they're going their separate ways.
That's tough.
Hopefully we'll be okay. I think Moose is crying.
Yeah, no, he's upset
over
it.
It's only sports, Moose.
The breakup of
I wasn't listening.
I know
he's a NASCAR guy.
No idea what we're talking about.
No.
Thoughts and prayers.
He's probably making fun of me.
Kevin Durant had to pee.
He's probably making fun of me with his buddy Mikey B.
How do you do this, Tess? You're a saint.
That's what they do. They make fun of me behind my back. They take shots at me, and that's okay. It's their insecurities. You know what, AB? Now I look at when Mikey B and Moose are talking behind my back, they're giving somebody else a break because then they're not talking bad about somebody else. They always rip me. I know they do.
There's other people.
Besides you. That's all right.
Not everyone's thinking about you, Tess.
I know. I know. I remember you told me that. There's some points to that. Good morning, AB. Good morning.
Hey, good,
say good morning,
good morning
a thousand times
and,
happy
birthday.
On the show.
Yes. A good moment.
Good moment.
Hashtag we over.
How about the Lean Mean video? We watched it together.
Very
we got to thank Lean Mean.
Yes.
Thank you, Lean Mean.
Thank them on social media. Check it out. We retweeted everything.
We did from the show? We did, yeah. Nice.
Yeah,
it's
been retweeted. Did you and Lean Mean, that took a lot of work, so
it
we certainly appreciate that.
Yep,
we really do.
Yep.
Very, very funny
awesome
video.
Awesome stuff.
No question about it. Down in Dallas, Jerry Jones was one on 105.3, the fan down in Big D. Let's take a listen to what the Cowboys owner had to say a couple days ago.
Well, we first of all, a true number one, you saw one the other night. You see Julio Jones, you see players like that.
Yeah.
They're in my mind, every team doesn't have a true number one receiver. When you put it in that class, those guys, it just absolutely can change the ball game with where they are. And that hasn't been our case for several years here, that we've had a true number one.
Yeah, Dez is like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Dez Bryant's like, wait, hold on a second. What do you mean? What do you think? You just got rid of me. I was supposed to make $12.5 million this year. He said the other guy the other night, he's referencing DeAndre Hopkins for the Houston Texans. He's talking about Julio Jones, true number one wide receivers. Mm. And the Dallas Cowboys receiving core this year has been roundly criticized for lacking a big-time playmaker. And rightfully so, they really don't have one. But it is kind of surprising that Jerry Jones, it's a strange relationship
that he has
with Dez Bryant. It really is. Number
was
one
the
is
concert they were made.
So they have the contract battle where Dez wants to get paid. Finally, he gets paid. Mm. Is disappointed. He's had issues with teammates and coaches. Dez did down there in Big Dallas, and then they get rid of him. After they get rid of him, he's talking about the fact of trying to enact revenge on the Cowboys, wanted to sign with an NFC East team, or wanted to be on a team that definitely played the Cowboys in 2018. Dez doesn't sign anywhere. Then you see Jerry Jones and Dez at a concert down in Dallas together where
Beyonce
Dez is sitting
and, Jay-Z, yeah.
Right, sitting in Jerry Jones' suite. And now Jerry Jones is on 105.3, the fan down in Dallas, that the Cowboys haven't had a number one wide receiver, to put it in his term, in years.
Dude, it's strange.
It's a very
strange,
like, odd relationship between those two. And then Dez goes out on social media defending himself.
Yeah, I know. It's just,
like, it's odd.
It is
like,
odd.
It's very odd. Like, you would think, why would they be hanging out together and going to a concert together?
Especially, I just don't picture Jerry Jones at a Beyonce, Jay-Z concert with anyone. It's just, he's older than 51.
Well, and the other thing is, even regardless of what he said yesterday, he cut Dez Bryant right. and said, I'm not going to pay you. Mm. Dez is not making money this year as an NFL wide receiver, yet they're hanging out at a concert. And then you get Jerry with the backhanded slap to Dez Bryant that he is not in the class of Julio Jones, not in the class of DeAndre Hopkins. Antonio yeah. Brown didn't mention it, but we know who the elite receivers in the yeah. NFL are. We all watch them every single Sunday or Thursday night or Sunday night or Monday night.
Well,
we know who they are, and he basically said Dez was never in their class.
That's Jerry Jones being that's passive aggressive to the ultra highest level. Because that might just be aggressive. I mean, without the word passive, it was so it's so obvious that he's taking a shot.
He understands what he's saying, the power of his words.
He's a billionaire. I think he's pretty intelligent, and I do think, and I know he's getting older, but listen, he understands, dude. I really think that, and I know that, I should say, in my heart of hearts, he knows what he's saying. I think he took a shot at him. They do. Dez and Jones do have a very strange relationship, though. It's weird. It's crazy.
But he could have just let if you listen to the cut in the interview, he could have just let it. You know, we don't have one of those guys now. Without saying, we haven't had one in years. Like, don't you think if you're friends with a guy that used to play for you, don't you understand the power of your words? Or is he just saying, he's just kind of like, whatever.
I just think I think Dez Bryant, he's going to, you know.
It's just odd.
It is odd.
The whole thing is odd.
Jerry Jones, this is why a guy like Jason Garrett could be the only coach ever for the Dallas Cowboys. Because he'll just let this roll off. Because if I was coaching there or you were coaching it, you couldn't deal with this owner who just creates all this drama constantly.
Well, that's constantly. Well, Taz, you nailed it, because that's the big curve whenever you coach the Dallas Cowboys is you got to let Jerry be Jerry.
Yeah.
And Jason Garrett lets Jerry Jones be Jerry Jones. But there's a lot of guys in the NFL, a lot of very, very talented coaches that even with the draw of it being America's team, would not want to deal with Jerry Jones being Jerry Jones.
I couldn't.
But Garrett does.
Yeah, because he just wants, I guess, to get paid, be the head coach.
Well, and think about how a story gets buried. Fourth and one inside the Texans, 44 or 45 yard line on Sunday night. Garrett decides to punt the ball. The Texans end up winning that game in overtime. Jerry Jones said, I would not have punted the ball. Did that story take on any life this week? No.
Right. What Dez was saying, he's saying basically Witten was the number one.
Yes.
He says, so Jerry's right. Jason Witten, he's talking about the tight end. Witten was the number one. He goes, as a receiver playing for the Dallas Cowboys, your mind has to be right. Of course, you'll never see targets like Antonio Brown, Beckham, or Hopkins, or none of those guys, he tweeted. This is what Dez tweeted. I was never schemed into things. I made things happen through my career. Oh. I'm Mr. 73.
See, that's the problem I have with Dez. Yeah, those kind of where now he's excusing his production because Witten, they trusted the routes he was running.
Yeah.
That he was going to be where he needed to be when the quarterback released the football.
Exactly.
That's it. So that falls on Dez.
That's it.
Just an oddity.
Yeah.
Maurice Claret is going to join us coming up next. A former Ohio State star running back. He's got good things going on. We'll catch up with him, talk a little college football as well. It's Taz, it's Moose. It's a Taz birthday Thursday morning right here on CBS Sports Radio.
From a bear messing up a car interior to a deer damaging a pool liner, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS's Super Bowl season continues with a fantastic doubleheader. First, an intense AFC North battle when Pittsburgh collides with Cincinnati. Then, the NFL's top defense, the Jacksonville Jaguars, head to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. The day kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks at 12 Eastern, only on CBS. Yes, we were mentioning the Cowboys going into break.
Yes, sir.
Latest drama down in Dallas. Did you see this about Allen Hurns and the Cowboys?
I caught a little bit of, yeah.
So, no, go ahead.
Sorry, no, you got it. You got it. I was waving to you. Go ahead. I was waving. Hello.
No, I was. No.
I actually smashed my hand as I was waving my hand.
No. So I guess it was reported, you know, well, let's play a little audio. Let's hear from Hearns, number one, trying to clarify the statements and the criticism of his quarterback, Dak Prescott.
I didn't question it. You know, everyone knows that's not a good play call versus two men. You know, what's so unfortunate for us, you know, that was the only snap of two men. You know, so it was just an unfortunate situation, but I ain't questioning the pickoff. As far as me, it's not like I'm just coming out saying a statement. You know, people ask the question and I tell them how it is. You know, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, you know, but as far as me, I'm just going to tell it how it is, for real.
Mm. So what he is the criticism about the play calling is he said it was the worst play call that you could make, a 3rd and 8 at the Dallas 32. Talking about running deep curls against two-man coverage on 3rd and 8. So one of the worst play calls you can make. He said, I didn't question. Everything knows that's not a good play call versus two-man. So what's unfortunate for us is that that was their only snap in two-man. Listen, he said he wasn't criticizing his quarterback, Dak Prescott, who takes criticism based on him not being a great pocket passer. But the Cowboys, when things start to go awry, the blame game down there, Taz, is very, very strong.
Absolutely, and I think what he's doing is he's taking a shot at Linehan, you know, offensive coordinator, or maybe Kellen Moore, the quarterback's coach. I don't know what he's doing. Probably offensive coordinator. Scott, you know, we see this sometimes. The guys will come out, the receivers, all these receivers want the ball. All these, you know, these playmakers want the ball, and I get that. I respect that. They should want the ball. But they get public because they get frustrated and they get upset. And then they come out and say, well, I'm not criticizing said quarterback, whatever. And I don't think he is. I think he's telling the truth. And I don't think Dak Prescott has the power to just call whatever play he wants in that huddle. You know, so he's probably, you know, Hearns is probably just taking a shot at the coaching staff, saying it was just a and by him saying he's not taking a shot.
It's so lame.
It is lame. I agree with you.
You know, you want athletes to be open and honest and speak what is on their mind, but it's terrible because that coach is there to back you up as a player. You should be able to back up that coaching staff, whatever you are feeling internally, and whether you believe against two-man coverage, right, 3rd and 8 deep curls is a terrible play call. Well, then you can get on the quarterback for not getting out of it and adjusting and adapting at the line of scrimmage. You could certainly get on the play. You could feel about all you want to feel, Taz, but as we said before, and I've defended guys. I defended Aaron Rodgers and others as well for speaking their mind. I do think when things are going bad, though, it's better to keep things in-house.
Yeah, you got to keep
what we talked about Jimmy Butler
absolutely.
Early on.
Yes, absolutely. And it's like, I just think these guys get frustrated. And those guys that are in the media, guys and girls in the media that get those interviews right in the locker room or right outside the locker room, they clamor for stuff like this, you know? and look, Hearns is, look, he's a really good receiver. He's not a rookie. I think he's in the league like 5 or 6 years, you know, coming out of, I think, Miami, right? So he's coming out of a big program, you know, with the Canes and stuff. He knows what he's doing. He's a legit guy. And he's frustrated. And that's the thing. But you got to just... And I do think that we talked earlier a lot in segment one about, I think it was segment one or segment two of this show, about leadership on teams and about Jimmy Butler and all that stuff. And I think that's where, if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, right, and you think about it, like who is, I mean, I don't know if it's a rhetorical question. Maybe I'm just asking you the question. If you have an answer, answer it. Moose, you know, who's the leader? Like who's going to say to Allen Hearns, yo, dude, chill. You know, what if Dez Bryant was there, even though Dez could be a little crazy, would he be that guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, it's. I don't think it's Dak. I don't think it's Zeke. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure.
Doesn't it have to be Dak at this stage?
I would think, yeah.
I mean, we're never going to be Dez. Dez is just focused on himself when he was there.
When I say Dez...
I mean, maybe it would be Witten when he was there.
Right. I say Dez because of his experience. I say maybe Sean Lee, even though he's a defensive player.
Right. Isn't it difficult, though, if you're a linebacker to walk up to Allen Hearns...
Well, he's saying that to them. I think Ray Lewis would have did it back in the day with the Ravens.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying about offense defense.
Yeah,
I do.
You know what? But I also look at Ray as being one of those kind of
different kind
of a leader.
He was different.
You know, there weren't kind of those lines with the Ravens and with Lewis down there in Baltimore. Plus, he was like Mr. Baltimore, he's the mayor of the Ravens.
I know. But Moose, look at you and I are sitting here. We followed the game heavily for years,
yeah,
even before we had the show. And we're struggling trying to find a leader for the Dallas Cowboys.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? So that's my point.
I mean, there's got no, and
Beasley, Cole Beasley, maybe?
I don't disagree.
What do you think? No, not really. So. Good player, though. He's a good player for what he is.
He fills a role for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know. I would probably look at the quarterback. I'd probably look at Dak showing a little bit of leadership there. But I also think there's got to be there has to be personal responsibility on the player too.
Good point.
Understand what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And Taz, how many times we talk about it? You learn about the character of individuals, when things are going great, not when everything's hunky dory.
Right.
In your whether place of business, when things start to go awry, you have a bad couple weeks, whatever it might be, bad on the football field. You're a losing team. You find out about the character of the individual, guy on the team.
I agree. Yep, so I agree. That's when it comes out.
You come out of a bad loss in which you question Garrett for his play call and deciding not to go for it when they're close to being in field goal range in overtime. They punt. The Texans end up winning that game. And then now you get Hurns falling out of that, talking about an interception, questioning the play calling.
You don't need that. That's extra BS
you don't need.
Right, totally. And that Cowboy club does not need any of that right now. You're making, they got to get ready for the freaking Jaguars. So that's what they got to do.
Well, speaking of drama, did you see what's going on with Snoop Dogg right now?
Oh, no, I don't stay on top of the Snoop.
So Snoop Dogg is a true black and gold Steelers fan.
Right, I know that. That I know.
Well, whose practice was he just at? The Cleveland Browns.
Oh, he's jumping on New America's team.
So,
really?
Right. The D-O-double-G might be joining the dog pound. Here is Snoop Dogg on going to practice.
Snoop Dogg, dog pound. Y'all better turn up this week, man. Y'all got a new feeling, new spirit. Let's go get it done, dog pound.
How long did it take them to write that promo?
Well, that was on his Twitter handle. That was not particularly good. Listen,
that was horrible.
Who knows?
That sucked.
Snoop likes to partake in a lot of things on a day in, day out basis. Now, well, that is
420 Jones.
That is a double ding. Yes. Anyway, Taz, now you've switched teams and allegiances.
But I had a good reason.
If you are a lifelong Steelers fan, and that is what Snoop Dogg is, how do you go to Browns practice?
Yeah, especially in, well, I see. The I can't Steelers, say much. I went from the Jets to the Bills.
The Steelers,
but because
and the
there's
Browns,
a rival, there's
well, you can't be doing
you
that.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
But I think he sees what's going on.
I get it. And watch it from afar. If you're Snoop Dogg, you can't be going to Browns practice. You're a Steelers fan.
Did Snoop Dogg just have this epiphany that, wait a minute, I'm Snoop Dogg, and they got the dog pound? Hold on. This is perfect. Dude, you've been around for years, the Snoop. And the dog pound there where Cleveland's been around for years. And he just had this idea. I don't think that's it. I think because of the whole Lev Bell and all the problems with Steelers, and everyone's starting to love the Browns.
Well, it's a playoff day. Imagine someone goes up to him and is like, Snoop, you know the Browns? Yeah, man. He goes, they got the dog pound. You serious?
Dog pound? That's really? My gimmick.
That's me. That would be a perfect match made in heaven.
Cleveland Browns?
But Snoop, you're a Steelers fan. I know, but you see Baker Mayfield? He looks great.
Big Ben can't run no more.
There's too much drama. You hear what Bradshaw had to say about Tomlin? I agree. Plus, the defense is not going to listen to me. And on a Thursday morning, a couple minutes before 8 o'clock Eastern time, he could live his life. But if you are a lifelong Steeler fan, you can't be showing up at Browns practice and then putting out a hype video on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so look at me.
Horrible promo. That's
right.
Horrible.
A terrible promo, but you can't be doing that. The Steelers are like, wait, what the hell is going on here?
He just left the Steel City.
What are you doing here?
We hate
the Browns. This is the AFC North.
You don't need the terrible towel anymore.
What are you doing?
He's going to the Browns. He's New America's team. Cleveland
Browns. Can't be doing that.
Jumping on that wagon.
That's worse than Allen Hurts.
It's not like they're 5-0. Jump on the Chiefs wagon or the Rams.
Right.
If you're Snoop Dogg.
I could understand that. Snoop Dogg's like, man, Mahomes is good.
Yeah.
Give me that jersey.
Talk funny, though.
Maurice Claret is going to join us next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.